بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for bringing us together again to continue our studies in Bulughul Maram. In our last class, we had concluded the chapter on al-libas. That's the part talking about clothing. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be starting from Kitab al-Janayin. That is the book talking about al-Janayin. The word al-janabi is the plural of the word al-janazatu. Okay, al-janazatu with fatha on the front, jin, janazatu. Or jinazatu with katra on the front, jin. When you say janaza, janazatu or jinazatu, what it means is coffin. No coffin. Sorry, put a dead body. That is the meaning of janazatu. A coffin with a dead body on it. That's what is called janaza. It's just an ordinary coffin without a dead body in it. The aroma does not call it janaza. It simply calls the coffin sarif. Okay, so say that a coffin with the dead body on it, then that's when it is called janaza. Okay, janaza or janaza, etc. So in this book, in this chapter, we are going to be talking about death. Okay, how to prepare for death and when death comes. Okay, if you are sitting beside a person who is about to die, what should you do? And when the person finally dies, what are the things that you should do to his body? These are the things that we are going to be discussing under this chapter, inshallah. It's a very long chapter, so we may not be able to discuss all the ahadith today, inshallah. We'll discuss some, we'll continue by next week, inshallah. The first hadith under this chapter is the hadith of Abu Huraira. He said, "An Abi Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhiru dhikra hadhihi al-lazzat al-maut." The Prophet said, "Adhiru dhikra hadhihi al-lazzat." Remember much, okay? Hadim al-lazzat, that which cut off enjoyment. And what is it? Al-mawt, that's death. And this is the narration, this is what you have in most of the publications. Hadim al-lazzat, uzzat, hadim al-lazzat. When you say hadim, manahu, qatih, that which cut off your enjoyment. Okay, in some narration it is hadim al-lazzat, with that, not that. Okay, in some narration what you have is hadim al-lazzat. So if it is that, the meaning is remember more the destroyer. Hadim and hadama, that's to destroy something. Okay, hadim al-lazzat meaning the destroyer of enjoyment. Or hadim al-lazzat with that, it means that which cut off your enjoyment. Whatever it is, that is what death does. It destroys your enjoyment, it copies you. Okay? You can be in this world, enjoying your money, enjoying your wife, enjoying everything, all of a sudden you fall down and die. And everything will come to an end. So this hadith says we should always remember death. Okay? There is need for a person to always remember death. In another hadith, the Prophet gave us a clue on how to go about what will help us to remember death. He said, "Zuru al-qubur, fa innaha tuzakkiruhu al-akhirah." Says, visit the graveyard because it will remind you of the hereafter. Isn't it? So that by going to the graveyard frequently, that will remind you of death. So either you go when somebody dies and the person is about to be buried, you follow the janaza, right? you follow them to the graveyard. You stand by the graveyard, you see degree. Look at the feet. See how tight it is. Okay, and remember that one day this will also be your final abode. You escort people there, one day you will also be escorted. Isn't it? So that helps you to remember death. Now, and when you remember death, what is the benefit? What does it benefit you? Okay? It benefits you by making you to prepare. That is the essence of remembrance. Okay, it should help you to prepare for death. How do you prepare for death? You prepare for death by frequent repentance. Isn't it? Every day we commit things. Okay? And we're expected to repent. Repent sincerely. Don't procrastinate. Don't say this particular thing I'm doing, let me continue for a while. I will repent maybe next month. Or I will repent next year. You don't know when death will come. Isn't it? Nobody knows when death will come. It can come at any time. So, if you remember that you will die, you can die at any time, that will help you to repent immediately. Alright? So always repent immediately. Don't delay repentance. Now, you also prepare for death by striving hard to do righteous deeds. Isn't it? Yes. Because that is what you are looking for before you get to the hereafter. So you strive to do righteous deeds. But strive to do nawafil prayer, strive to do nawafil fasting, strive to give sadaqah, strive to do all kinds of righteous deeds, preparation to your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, remembrance of death is very, very important. Sometimes when you see the way some of our people behave, you know, it gives you the impression that it's like they are doubting resurrection, isn't it? Because as a believer, if you know that you will be held accountable, you will be resurrected, and you will be called to account for your deeds, that alone will help you to reduce something, isn't it? Yes. But when somebody misbehaves and does things as if he will not stand before Allah, then you will find out that once that fear is not there, then the person will lack control. So such remembrance helps to control our activity. So it's very important for us to always remember that. Also remember that by engaging a lot of istighfar, which is part and parcel of repentance. Now, the next hadith. وعن أنس وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أنس may Allah bless you the same said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the message of Allah peace and blessings of Allah be upon him said لا يتمنى ين أحدكم الموت none of you should wish for death. لِبُرِّ نَزَلَهِ because of a calamity that befalls him. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ مُتَمَنِّيًا and if at all he must wish for it. He said, don't wish for death. But if at all you must wish for it, then فَلْيَقُلْ this is what you should say. You should say this. اللَّهُمَّ أَحْيِينِي أَحْيِينِي مَا كَانَتِ الْحَيَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي O Allah, grant me long life, as long as long life is best for me. وَتَوَفَّنِي إِذَا كَانَتِ الْوَفَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي And take my soul, if death is best for me. مُتَفَقٌ عَلِيمٌ Yeah, this is a bit of form by Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith is very, very important. Number one, it prohibits us from wishing for death. You do not wish for death because of a calamity that befalls you. Some people, when calamity befalls them, they lack patience. So, calamity can befall somebody in different ways. It can be in your personal self, alright, by sickness, for instance. Okay, you can fall sick, seriously sick, that a sickness that will defy all medication. And you remain lying down helpless. Some people, the nature of their sickness is such that they cannot do anything by themselves. They need somebody around to constantly take care of them. Some people may become tired of their life. Isn't it? Yes. That should not make you to wish for death. You understand? Sometimes the calamity may be in your work. Recently there was fire outbreak in Kano State, isn't it? In one market in Kano, you all saw it on the TV. I heard of somebody who lost 5 shops in that market. 5 shops what is in those shops is worth almost half a billion. They are talking of almost 500 million. And in one night, the identified outbreak took place in the night. Isn't it? Before the following morning, 500 million is gone. That can make somebody to to collapse. Yes, sir. Somebody may say, what's the essence of living? I have lost everything. It's better I just die too. But how can I believe that all of a sudden I'm not a former? I cannot start all over again. Somebody may wish for that. No, don't wish for that. The calamity may be in your family member. Okay, when I was in Medina, I used to have a lecturer who lost his entire family to an accident. Alright, he had a wife and five children. His wife and children were traveling from Medina to Mecca and they had an accident. And all of them died. Everybody died. When you visit him in his house, you see him sitting out alone. Nobody stops in his house. It's frustrating. Somebody may say, what am I waiting for? It's better I join them. Whatever the nature of the calamity, Adama, alright, whatever the nature of the calamity, do not wish for death. Because wishing for death because of calamity indicates that you lack patience. Isn't it? That's what it implies. It means that you have no patience. Alright? And Islam encourages us to be patient. Alright? Fabashir al-Sabirin. Alladhina idha asabat musiba qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So, this hadith is emphasizing on the importance of being patient. People who commit suicide, it is lack of patience that makes them to do that, isn't it? They cannot bear the difficulty that they are going through in their life, so they decide to take their life. It's wrong. So, do not wish for death because of any calamity that befalls you. Some scholars have opinion that if the calamity has to do with worldly affairs, okay, as was mentioned now, sickness, loss of property, loss of close relatives, and things like that, then it is prohibited for a person to wish for death. However, if the calamity is thought that it has to do with your iman, okay, then it can be permissible to wish for death. If you find yourself in a society where everybody is abandoning the religion, there's sin everywhere, sins are being committed everywhere, people are facing trial. Everybody is being, is one way or the other, either by force or through ambiguity. People are abandoning the true teaching of Islam. And you fear that if I continue to remain, I may also end up losing my faith. In that situation, it is permissible to wish for death. Okay? And that is the interpretation or explanation to some of the dua that the Prophet taught is compiled in which you find the Prophet in those dua asking for death. Alright, for instance, there's a popular hadith where the Prophet said to his companion to always supplicate, saying to Allah, and he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'l al-khayra. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me the ability to do righteous deeds. Wa tarak al-munkara, give me the ability to abstain from evil deeds. Wa hubb al-masakin, Allah, give me the ability to always love the poor and the needy. He said, wa anta tasfira li wa tarhamni. Oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me and have mercy on me. In other words, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرُ مَفْتُونٍ. If you wish trial for a people, trial here means kufur. Alright, anything that will affect people's faith, that will make them to abandon their religion. The Prophet said that if you intend such trial for people, then فَتَوَفَّنِي, take my life. غَيْرُ مَفْتُونٍ, so that I will not be among those that will be, that will fall under such trial. Yeah, so you can see in this hadith, the Prophet is asking for death, okay? But it is because it has to do with your faith. The faith, your iman is the most precious thing to a believer, alright? So anything that will make you to lose your iman, then it's better for you to die than to remain alive while you are no longer a Muslim. Do you understand? So if the trial has to do with iman, then it may be permissible to wish for death, okay? Now, it says, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَابُدَّ مُتَمَنِيًا. So, we say, don't wish for that. But if at all you must wish for it, then what should you say? اللهم أحييني ما كانت الحياة خيرًا. Oh Allah, grant me life, good life, or long life, as long as long life is best for me. watawaffani idha kamtu alwafatu khayran li, take my life, take my soul, if death is best for me. Here you can see you are not directly asking for death, isn't it? Rather you are leaving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the choice for you, isn't it? If long life is best for me, oh Allah, grant me long life. If death is best for me, oh Allah, then take my life. Why? Because nobody knows the future, isn't it? Nobody knows the future. Yes. This shows that only Allah has knowledge of the unseen. Because only Allah knows what will happen tomorrow. Now, so some people, long life may be best for them. Alright? And some people, it's better for them to die now. Yes. That's why in one of the hadith of the Quran, it said the best of people are those who live long and do righteous deeds. The worst of people are those who live long and do evil deeds. Alright? Because long life now has not been beneficial to them. Instead, it's going to add to their punishment. Do you understand? It's going to add to their punishment. Yes. Sometimes they go, not sometimes they go, I was watching a TV. There's this reporter, TV presenter working with Arai TV. They call him Rufai Hussein. You know that man? One day I was watching him on TV and he was boastfully saying, he said he was a Muslim. Alright, but he later converted to Christianity. And he said his father was a Muslim. And ever since he became a Christian, he kept on persuading his father to accept Christianity, but his father refused. And that he continued persuading until when his father was on his sickbed, about to die. That was when he succeeded in converting to Christianity. And that his father died at the age of 75. The day I watched him, this is not in your, he said it on air. When I watched him, we heard him say this. The day I watched him saying that thing, I felt bad for his father. He lived as a Muslim from birth, from childbirth, up to 75 years. Just when you are about to leave this world, you know, become another thing. Wouldn't it have been better for him to die earlier before that time? Yes, no, man. Well, it's better for him to die before that day. It's a great law. May Allah not give all these kind of children. Children that will now be the reason for you to go to hellfire. It's better not to have tried, isn't it? It's not better to be captain. So what I'm trying to say is that some people living long may not really be the best for them. It may be better for you to die earlier. And some people living long may be best for them. If a non-believer, probably if he lives long, Allah will guide him to Islam before he dies. There are people like that. There are people who live all their life as non-Muslims. So before they die, they accept Islam. Alright? And there are people who are even Muslim but they are sinners. And close to their death, Allah will grant them sincere repentance and they will repent from their evil deeds. So that's why the form of life is leaving the matter in the hands of Allah. Alright? If long life will be best for me, oh Allah grant me long life. If death will be best, then oh Allah take my life. That's what scholars say. That when you pray for someone, don't say may Allah grant you long life. Do you understand? Or you pray for someone and say, may Allah grant you long life, and you keep quiet like that. It may not be completely correct, alright? Because we don't know what type of life long life will be touched again. So it's better to say, may Allah grant you long life, alright? With guidance to the religion of Islam. You get it? Uh-huh. But just long life like that, you don't know, it may be good, it may be bad. You get it? It may be good, it may be bad. No. So, this is what you should say, if at all you must wish for death. Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-hayatu khayran li wa tawaffani idha kanat al-wafatu khayran li. The next hadith. Wa an Burayda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala al-mu'minu yamutu bi'araqi al-jabin. Rawahu al-thalatha wa sahhahahu Ibn Hibban. The Prophet of Islam said that al-mu'min, a believer, يَمُوتُ بِعَرَقِ الْجَبِينِ, he died while sweating on his forehead. Al-Jabin is your forehead, this line on your forehead. Alright? A believer died while sweating on his forehead. Now scholars interpret this hadith or explain it in two ways. It may mean that the fact that a believer died sweating with sweat on his forehead can be a sign of good ending. Okay? And what does a believer die sweating? Scholars say it's because of the difficulty that he may encounter while his soul is about to leave his body. Yes. A believer may encounter difficulty while his soul is on the verge of going out of his body. That difficulty is meant to serve as expiation, kafara, for anything that he has committed, that he has not repented from as at that time. So that as his soul is going out, the soul will go out while he has already been forgiven for all his sins. Okay? You know, death is painful. Yes. Death is painful. A person may be encountering serious difficulty as his soul is going out. But you may see him as if he just died, that nothing happened. But these are things that have to do with the unseen. Nobody sees the angel while they are with the dead body. Isn't it? Now, so that's why when the Prophet was about to die, what was he saying? He was saying, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti nasakarat. La ilaha illallah, he said, inna lil mawti nasakarat. Verily, death has agony. Alright? Has agony. It's painful. Okay? So, sometimes a believer, that difficulty may make him to sweat on his forehead. Okay, another scholar said it may be a sign of good ending, that the person dies sweating on his forehead. Some scholars say the meaning of this hadith may mean that when he says sweat on his forehead, it may not necessarily mean physical sweating. It may simply mean, what the hadith is talking about is that a believer faces difficulty in his life, during his lifetime. He encounters difficulty trying to keep his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to live based on halal means alone. Alright, without taking haram, trying to establish his prayers, trying to establish the fasting, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he encounters difficulty. So in that process, while he is there doing his best to worship Allah, death will come to him. So he dies serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That's another way some scholars interpret the hadith. Whatever means, whatever is the interpretation, both interpretations are correct. Okay, so both interpretations are correct. So all this, if a believer dies while sweating on his forehead, maybe a sign of good ending. And if a believer dies while striving to keep his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is still a sign of good ending. Alright, you die while not committing haram. Alright, you die while committing halal and trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what the hadith is talking about. وعن أبي سعيد وأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال إتوبن دينارات السين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسجد of Allah said لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله رواه مسلم والأربعة the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لقنوا موتاكم remind those that are about to die among you. That's what you mean by mawtaukum, not the dead one. If somebody is dead, he cannot remind that person anything. Alright, so when he says mawtaukum, meaning those that are on the point of death. Lakinuhum la ilaha illallah. You may remind them to say la ilaha illallah. Okay? Remind them to say what? La ilaha illallah. Ibn Hajar did not complete the hadith. In the completion of the hadith, it says, فَمَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Alright, that's the completion of the full hadith. Okay, so remind them to say La ilaha illallah, because whoever his last statement in this world is La ilaha illallah, then that person will enter paradise. That person will enter paradise. So, first, this hadith indicates how great this kalima to shahada is. Indeed, a great statement. La ilaha illallah. Alright? A great statement. So, it can be the dividing line between a believer and a non-believer. That is the dividing line. Yeah. Just by saying it alone, you have opportunity of entering paradise. Now, how do you remind somebody who is about to die to say La ilaha illallah? Scholars say, when a person is, not just any sick person, alright? It's somebody who is terribly ill and we see signs that is likely to be, likely to die. You understand? It's likely to die. So we remind such a person by saying it in his presence always. Not that you go and say, Allah Yahya, say la ilaha illallah. If you say so, that means you are telling him Allah, you go die now. Because it may make him, it can scare the person.
dear Master, if you tell him directly, say La ilaha illallah, you are like telling him, okay, your death is closed, you have to die now, so say La ilaha illallah. So that may make the person to be afraid and you're not saying. They get it. So what you are supposed to do is you are supposed to use wisdom. Alright, as you are sitting by his bedside, you know, and you are discussing with him, always repeat La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, with the hope that he will think about it himself and he will just say it. And once he says, then everyone should keep quiet. Don't talk again. So that would be his last statement. Alright? But if he doesn't die and after a while he sits off, then another time again, he'll say it so that he will say it. Like that. We do hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him that kalimatu shahada as his last statement. You understand? As his last statement. So that's how you apply wisdom in it. And also, you know, when you are with the death, someone who is terribly ill, okay? Somebody who has lost hope of getting well from his sickness. It's good to always remind that person of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It's good to remind such people of the mercy of Allah so that the person will die or while in that state, the person will have hope that Allah will forgive me. You understand? It's very, very important. Nobody, don't lose hope. لا تتنطو من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Okay? And you know that point, it's a very critical point. You are not supposed to have the impression in your mind that I'm going to hellfire. You don't have that impression. I have hope that Allah will forgive me. Because Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, أنا عند ظن عبدي. عند ظن عبدي. Allah says, I am to my servant the way he takes me to be. Do you understand? That's not that Hadith. I am to my servant the way he takes me to be. So if you take Allah to be merciful, Allah will be merciful to you. If you take Allah to be not remarkable, Allah will not forgive me, then Allah will not forgive you. Alright? So it's very important that we remind such people of the mercy of Allah. Alright? We encourage them to seek forgiveness and have hope in the mercy of Allah. At the same time, they should have fear of the punishment of Allah. Alright? You're supposed to have these two things together at the same time. You fear the punishment of Allah, at the same time you have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was why in one of the hadiths of the Prophet, when he came to a young man, the young man was about to die. The Prophet said to him, كَيْفَ تَجِدْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. What do you feel in your heart? How do you feel in your heart? He said, I hope that Allah will forgive me, and at the same time, I fear the punishment for my sin. He said to the Prophet. The Prophet said to him, these two things, whenever they are combined in the soul of a servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him his hope and protect him from his fear. Do you get it?
No.
So when you hope for Allah's mercy, Allah will grant it. Or you fear Allah's punishment, Allah will protect you from it. Okay? So let there be, you know, we call it bain al khawf wa raja, in between hope and fear. Now that means fear and hope. Now. So scholars say that if it's a Muslim, alright, that's when we do it the way I just explained. Okay? We just say it once in a while with the hope that the person will remember and say. But if the person is not a Muslim, alright, let's say you have a friend or a close relative who is about to die, he's a Muslim. This kind of person, you are going to call him and say, John, say La ilaha illallah. Do you understand? Yes. Command him to accept Islam. Okay, so that he will die as a Muslim. That was how the Prophet did it during his time. When his uncle, Abu Talib, was about to die, what did he say? He said, Ya Am, Qul La ilaha illallah. Oh my uncle, say La ilaha illallah. Say, Kalimatan Uhajulaka biha indallah. It's just a statement that I can use as evidence for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So if it's a non-Muslim, we say to him directly, say La ilaha illallah. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is how we do it. Ala kulli hal, it's very important that we always remind our dead ones to say La ilaha illallah. We hope that they will say, because whoever his last statement is La ilaha illallah, that the person will enter paradise. Is La ilaha illallah alone sufficient? Or must it be La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? You understand? Must it say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Or just La ilaha illallah alone suffice? It suffices, alright? It suffices to say La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of Rasul except Allah. Okay? But when you say so, it means that you accept that Muhammad as the messenger as well. Okay? Now. And that was why in that battle, in the battle of Badr, when Usama saw a non-Muslim, alright, that was about to, like he was following him with his sword, wanted to kill him. So when the person fell down, he now said, La ilaha illallah. he only said La ilaha illallah. This is more than Sunnah. Just La ilaha illallah, and Usama still went ahead and killed him. Alright? And when he was not narrating the Prophet, Umar was telling him, after telling the Hubada and called La ilaha illallah, you killed him after he said La ilaha illallah. He said, no, he was saying so just to protect himself from death. Prophet, did you open his hand and saw that that was what he was doing? You understand? Usama said, the Prophet kept, anytime he see me, he would tell me, you kill somebody after he said La ilaha illallah. He said, he kept on repeating it, repeating it. He said, I felt the ash just open and enter his hand because of the weight of the reproach from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right? So, La ilaha illallah suffices, okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us أنجل لا إله إلا الله. لم نذهب سوى عن معقل بن يسار رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين وهو أبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان. نعم معقل بن يسار يلا بن سيدة للبروفيسور اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين read سورة ياسين read سورة ياسين upon those who are about to die among you. Again, mortality here does not mean the dead ones. It means those who are about to die. Okay? So this is saying that if you have somebody who is about to die with this time, that is about to leave this world, we should recite Surah Yasin to the person. A majority of the scholars of the hadith are Muslim that this hadith is weak. Okay, even though even Hibban says it's Sahih, but virtually all other scholars of hadith say this hadith, the chain of transmission is weak. So they don't agree with this hadith. And that's why some scholars even went as far as saying that doing this is video. Alright, because the hadith is not authentic, it's not established. Okay? But for those who, like Ibn Hibban and other scholars who agree with him, to them, the wisdom behind reciting Surah Yasin is that it may ease death for the person that is about to die. So that's why they recite Surah Yasin. But Allah Kun Hal, like I said, majority of the scholars of hadith are of the opinion that this hadith is weak. And therefore, it is not legislated to recite Surah Yasin upon somebody who is about to die. Allahu Ta'ala alam. Wa an Ummi Salama رضي الله تعالى عنها قال أم سلمة is one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. After this time, as I'm trying to narrate this hadith, she had not married the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم yet. Right, she was married to Abu Salama. Okay, so she said, دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أبي سلمة. She said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered upon Abi Salama, that's her husband now. Okay, that time he was sick, so the Prophet went to visit him. Now, while the Prophet was there, he died. Okay, so she said, "Dakhala ala Abi Salama." The Prophet entered upon Abu Salama, waqad shaqqa basaruhu, while his eyes were still open. He has already died. Okay, shaqqa basaruhu, meaning his eyes were still open. It's no longer blinking, but it's still open. So what happened? Says for Abu Nadab. So the Prophet closed his eyes. Now, the Prophet closed his eyes. Summa qala. Then the Prophet said, "Inna ruha, verily the soul, idha qubida, whenever it is taken, it taba'ahu al-basar." Alright? The sight follows it. Alright? So if you die, your eyes will be looking at your soul as the angels are climbing up with it. Do you understand? And the angels are going, are picking it and going with it. So when the Prophet made this statement, other relatives of Abu Salama who were outside, when they heard that statement, that was when they knew that Abu Salama had died. He said, "Fabajja nasul min ahli." So people among his family members, bajja, they started making noise. They started crying, raising their voices. Alright? Now, started crying, raising as well. Bajja means to make a loud noise. Okay, so they started crying, raising their voices. Fakal, what the Prophet saw that, he said to them, لا تدعو على أنفسكم إلا بخير. Alright? Do not supplicate against yourself. Okay, except that we should supplicate good, make good supplication. Say something good. Alright? You know, some people, when somebody dies, I am finished. I am destroyed. I am caught. Don't say this. Alright? Don't say evil things against yourself. Why? Because for إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تُؤَمِّنُوا عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ. Because the angels are saying Ameen to what you are saying. Alright? So a woman may lose her husband and she say, I am finished. And then they say, Amen. It means she's finished. You understand? I am destroyed. She cannot, she's destroyed. Okay? So don't say evil things. Alright? Just because you lose your father or your husband or your wife or your mate or anybody. Alright? So whatever you're going to say, say good. Alright? Alright, don't pray against yourself. Instead, you say good things. Why? فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تُؤْمِنُ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ. Because the angels say Amen to what you're saying. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then the Prophet now said, the Prophet supplicated for Abu Salama. So, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِأَبِي سَلَمَ. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama. وَارْفَعْ دَرَجَتَهُ فِي الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Elevate his rank. Alright? Elevate his rank among the guided ones. Okay, وَفْسَحْ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. Make his graveyard to be spacious. Okay, وَنَوِّرْ لَهُ فِيهِ. Fill it with light. Okay, وَخْلُفْهُ فِي عَقِبِهِ. And be his successor. Okay, among the descendants or among the offspring that is going to leave behind. Okay, that was the supplication that the Prophet made for Abu Salama. He said, forgive me. Alright, it's a human being, he has sin, isn't it? So he is in need of forgiveness. So when a person dies, we pray for forgiveness of that person. He says, وَرْفَ دَرَجَتَهُ فِي الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Alright, elevate his rank among the guided ones. The guided ones are who? Are the Prophet, the Siddiqun. وَلَيْكَ مَا لَنَا أَنَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Alright, these are the guided ones. Okay, the Prophet, the Siddiqun, the Shuhada, the Matthias, and the righteous of Salihun. So, Allah should elevate Islam among these people. وَفْسَعْ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. Allah should make his grave to be spacious. I believe we have all visited the graveyard before. We have seen how a person is buried inside that sea. Very narrow sea. Alright? It's very tight. Well, when they lay you there, you can't even form. Isn't it? So, it's very tight. Okay? If you are going to live there for the next 1,000 years, definitely you will be tired, isn't it? So we supplicate to Allah to make the grave spacious. Yeah. This has to do with knowledge of your sin, isn't it? Knowledge of your sin, to make it spacious. Now, so when now we love to see it with light, we see it. By the time you cover it, it's going to be dark, isn't it? The graveyard is very dark, so you need light in it. So you are asking Allah to fill it with light. Now say, what look who the activity, alright, be his successor, alright, meaning take charge of his family, alright, when he was alive, he was the one in charge of his family, isn't it? Now that he's no more, oh Allah, be his successor in taking charge of activity, his descendants, his offspring, his wife, his children, alright, this one that will take care of them. Not that Allah will come down physically to take care of them, but Allah may guide them to be under somebody who will take care of them, alright. Scholars say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his supplication. Why? Because when he died, who did Allah appoint to take care of his wife and his children? The Prophet himself. Isn't it? Yes. When Abu Salama died, you know, Umm Salama in other hadith, she said, when Abu Salama died, the Prophet said to me that I say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlifni khayran minha. Oh Allah, reward me in this calamity and replace it with something better. She said, I said the supplication, but I was wondering in my mind, who would be better than Abu Salama? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet to propose to me. And I thought that, yes, indeed Allah has replaced him with somebody better. You get this? Yeah. So, his wife and his children now, we are under the charge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah kulli hal, let us not say evil things when a person dies. Okay? Let us not say evil things. The angels are moving around. Okay, so let us say good things, pray for the person, and also say good things about ourselves. The next hadith, one Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hina tuwfiya sujjiya bi burdin hibratin, mutafaqun alayhi. Aisha, may Allah be pleased, said that when the Prophet died, hina tuwfiya, when the Prophet died, sujjiya bi burdin hibratin. He was covered with a Yemeni garment. This burd is hebra, is a garment that has stripes on it. It's usually gotten from Yemen. Okay, so he was covered in a Yemeni garment that has stripes on it. Line on it. Okay, this happened before he was washed. Okay, that before the Prophet was washed, when he died and was lying on Aisha's bed, okay, they now covered him with that garment, okay, with his clothes on, and they covered him with that garment before they washed his body for burial, okay. So when a person dies, okay, don't leave the person like that. You know, it takes time to prepare for the washing, isn't it? So don't leave the person just lying down like that. Rather, put the person in order. You know, when a person dies, his entire body, there's no life in it. You understand? Nothing has life again. Somebody can die, his neck will be bent, and he cannot fix his neck back. His hands may be like this. You know, his leg open. Right? Lay him down correctly, put his hands by his side, his legs together, okay? Then cover him up. Alright, get a garment, a piece of clothes, and cover the person up. Pending when you finish arrangement for the bathing of the person. Do you understand? Now, so that's what the hadith is telling us. Now, then wa anha, also from Aisha, okay? Also from Aisha, anna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته. Alright, she said that Abu Bakr kissed the Prophet after his death. Okay, قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته. This happened when the Prophet died. You know, when the Prophet died, Abu Bakr was not in Medina town. Right, he had gone out. He went out of the town. So when the Prophet died, everybody was confused. People were saying all kinds of things. So they said that Umar was saying that anybody who said that the Prophet had died, he will kill that person. Alright, that the Prophet did not die. No, you could not imagine that the Prophet would die. Okay? And Abu Bakr was always with the Prophet while he was sick. Always. But on that Monday morning, the Prophet felt better. You know, that's why it used to happen. If somebody will be sick, or if you see that the person is already better, the person will not die. That's why it happens. Yeah. So on that Monday morning, the Prophet felt a little bit better. I know when Prophet Abu Bakr left him and had to go for some of his activities outside Medina. So while he was there, information reached him that the Prophet had died. The Prophet died in the morning, on Monday morning. So when he died, Abu Bakr now quickly rushed back. He rushed back and went straight into Aisha's room. Alright, and when he went, they had already covered him with this garment that we just mentioned. Okay, so he now lifted the garment and he kissed the forehead of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, "Tibta hayyan wa maytan." Right? You look good, even while you are alive and even after death. Okay? So he kissed it and he covered it back. He now went out to the mosque and he said to calm down. Okay? Calm down. Now said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammad fa inna Muhammadan qadima." Whoever is worshipping Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad is perished. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever is worshipping Allah, he will that Allah is ever living. Allah does not die. He now recites the verse in Surah Al Imran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. So the end of the verse. Now, Allah says Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. There are other messengers that come before him. So if he dies or he's killed, does that mean you come back on your heels and abandon the religion? No. So Abu Bakr was able to calm the situation. So this hadith shows that it's permitted to kiss the forehead of the dead person. Okay? And then this hadith also indicates that the body of the dead person is not najasa. It's not an impurity. And God is of his impurity, you know about the key to what is impure, isn't it? So it shows that the body of a dead person is not an impurity. Okay? Now, it also shows the importance of being calm when somebody dies. Alright? You know, Abu Bakr is the closest among the companions to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he felt, you know, the pain is more than anybody. Yet he was calm. Yes, he was calm. So as a person, when you lose your close ones, your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, whatever, try as much as possible to be calm. Even if it's not easy. It's not easy. You know? Sometimes, don't be mad, but that's what we preach. When you say, how do you think you're to control yourself? So don't say that you're going to preach that you're going to cry because of this one. Don't say that. You know, but that's how it should be. Alright, we should also as much as possible to control ourselves. It's not easy, it's painful. Yeah, when you lose somebody very close to you, it's painful. But as much as possible, try to control yourself. Alright, try to be calm. Try to be calm. You know, try to be calm. May Allah bless us.
Should we talk or continue with it?
All let us speak to Mukharit, one or two more, I think, that was sufficient. The question is, that's the place I wanted to stop. But that's not, I'm not working there yet. Let us take like one or two hadith and I'll talk inshallah. The next hadith, it says, وَأَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ أَنْ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ نَفْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِدَيْنِهِ. Alright, Abu Huraira said that the Prophet said, نَفْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِدَيْنِهِ, that the soul of a believer is hung, alright, is hung on what? On his debt. حَتَّى يُقْضَى عَنْهُ, until it is settled for him. Yes, Rawahu Ahmad al-Tirmidhi with wa hasanahu. Alright, this hadith shows the importance of paying your debt as much as possible before you die. Alright, the issue of debt is very, very important. Unfortunately, today a lot of people are negligent in paying off their debt. When somebody is looking for money, he will come and tell you all the sweet things in the court. By the time you give him the money, so paper becomes a problem. Alright, now if a person dies without settling his debt, his soul will be hanging on that debt until it is settled. Okay? So let us not be negligent in settling our debt. It's very, very important. Alright? It's very, very important. In fact, in one of the hadith of the Prophet Rasulullah, the Prophet said that a martyr, somebody who died in the cause of jihad, the Prophet said that when a martyr is killed, they strike him with a sword, he said, all his sins is forgiven with the first drop of blood that comes out of his body. A martyr, huh? All his sins are forgiven with the first drop of blood, except death. Do you understand? That's to show you how great the issue of death is. Alright? During some of the prophets, when somebody dies, he will ask, is he indebted? If he says yes, he will not even agree to do the funeral prayer for the person. Alright? Until somebody among the Muslims will say that, okay, I will take responsibility of his death, then he will not go ahead and observe the prayer. Okay? So, let us not look to the issue of death. It's very, 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 very important. Let us always try as much as possible to settle our debt on time. Okay? Now, the last thing was from death. Then the last hadith I'll say before we end is the next hadith that عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الذي سقط عن راحلته. The Prophet said concerning the one who fell down from his camel. Okay, for Mata and the person died. This incident happened while they were on Hajj, during Hajj. Alright, they were on Arafah ground. A man was on his camel, then all of a sudden he fell down from the camel. Now when he fell down from the camel now marked him, step on him on his neck. Alright, so he died. Alright, the man died. So when he died, the companion asked the Prophet, what should we do with him? The Prophet now said, Iksiluhu. Alright, he said, wash him. The man was seasoning. Wash him with water and seal it. Seal it with lotus leaf. Alright. وَكَفْتِنُهُ فِي سَوْبَيْهِ and shroud him, alright, in his two garments. You know, it's on her, so it's on that two white garments that our previous used to wear. So, it says, وَكَفْتِنُهُ فِي سَوْبَيْهِ, shroud him in his two garments. Ibn Hajar also did not state the complete hadith. In another narration, it said, وَلَا تُحَنِّتُهُ, that's the completion of the hadith. It said, وَلَا تُحَنِّتُهُ, do not apply perfume to his body. وَلَا تُخَنِّرُهُ, do not cover his head. فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَدِّيًا, because he will be resurrected on the day of judgment while doing the tazkiyah. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ, لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, لَبَّيْكَ, to the end. Okay? Now, that's what the hadith is. So this hadith, okay, shows that whatever you die doing, that's what you will be resurrected doing on the day of judgment. Okay? So if you die drinking alcohol, you wake up as somebody who takes alcohol. You die committing dinner. Some people die on top of a woman. You wake up as a dinner. You die in juju. Some people die in prayer. You wake up as somebody who is praying. Like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good health. That's very important. Okay? Now, the hadith also shows that ordinarily, when a person dies, okay, when you are shrouded, but inshallah, maybe in the next class, we'll come to a hadith that's talking about passing the dead body and shrouded. So we'll discuss it in more detail, inshallah. Okay? When you are shrouding a dead person, when you wash his body, you apply perfume. Okay? But before the person was in the state of ihram. A person in the state of ihram does not apply perfume. That's why the Prophet said, don't apply perfume to him because he is in the state of ihram. Meaning, if he was not in the state of ihram, then you're supposed to apply perfume to the body of a dead person. Do you understand? He said, wala tuhammilu, don't cover his head. Why? Because in the state of ihram, a person performing hajj, you know, if you watch pilgrims, they don't wear cap, right? It's not those two white garments, right? That's why he said, don't cover his head. Ordinarily, if he was not, then his head is supposed to be covered, okay? Then he said, it's you know, the man you're sitting, washing with water and bathing, right? You know, Tijuba, lotus leaf. Lotus leaf. You put the lotus leaf in it so that when you put it and you shake it, it makes the water to have foam. Okay, so you use it to wash the dead body. Some scholars or many scholars from this hadith derive a ruling concerning purity of water. They say when a water is mixed with something that is pure, alright, it does not invalidate that water. Alright, because sitting here as we've done to this water, they're going to change the color. Alright? But yes, you know when you are going to wash a dead body, you wash him as if you are doing ghusl janaba. Alright? Yes, it was used to wash the dead body. So some scholars derive from this that when the water is mixed with something pure, it does not invalidate. But while we are treating water, I discussed this matter generally and I said that if that pure substance does not change the water completely, such that you can no longer call it water, you have to say water of something. Alright? If it's like that, then you cannot use it for ibadah. But if it mixes with it, but it doesn't make the water to lose its characteristics of water, then it does not invalidate that water. And the water can still be used for an act of worship. Then finally, they have talked about the importance of shrouding. Alright, so what you know in Saudi, as shrouding the dead body. Okay, we don't bury our dead body like that. We must shroud them. We cover them up. And all that non-Muslim, put on shoes, put on clothes, all look like that. Like we cover him with white clothes. Okay, we'll discover that inshallah in detail in our next class. But Allah was said that it's right, may Allah reward us for it. Whatever we're wrong, may Allah forgive us. Nalan filos knowledge. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My question is whether the Quran hadith from the Kitab al-Jami, so the hadith ended with Rawahu Thalatha.
Al-Thalatha, okay, it's because in my introduction when we started the book, I already explained this concept, that these terminologies that are usually used by, Hajar. Alright, when he says Rawahu Al-Thalatha, what he means by that is Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nasai, excluding Ibn Majah. Alright, if he says Rawahu Arba, then he means this three. What do you call it? Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, and Ibn Majah. And if he says Rawahu Khamsa, it means this four, plus Imam Ahmad. Alright, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, like that. And if he says Taba, then this five, plus Bukhari and Muslim. That's me.
To
the cost
of the game. Yes,
it's a lot. Alright, it's a lot for men to visit the graveyard to pray for those in the graveyard. And when you are visiting, it's better you visit a particular person if you know the particular grave. Alright, and go and I'm going to visit Mr. A specifically. So you go and stand by the grave and you supplicate. And you can visit everybody generally, just enter the graveyard, look at them and supplicate for all of them, all our love inshallah, for men. Anytime. You don't pray for everybody. You don't know what I did. It's not a problem if you choose a particular day because of convenience. Alright? For me, I'm always busy, only on Friday that I have time, I go. Or I'm always busy, only on Saturday that I have time, so I will always go on Saturday. It's not a problem. Okay? What is problematic is to choose a particular day and believe that going on that day has a special virtue. That one becomes a problem. Alright, because there's nothing to back it. You understand? But if you choose a particular day and say, I'll be going every Friday or every Sunday because of convenience, that is the day that is more convenient for me, it's not a problem. But to believe that selecting that particular day has a special reward or has a special value, then it becomes bigger. Is it clear? إن للموت لسفراء. لا إله إلا الله. I don't need to be saying إن للموت لسفراء. Because the difficulty the prophet went to where he was at, it was the same as our own. Alright, the prophet of Allah used to say, so whenever he sees the kind of pain, the kind of difficulty he goes through, it's like that of double testing. You understand? So it's not like our own. Limited. So what is important is to say that in the Allah, right? So it to be your last statement. Al-Islam, now.
Death,
now.
For example, you have someone like you, and you can do that by doing both the plan and both the problem of the church.
Okay, no problem. Any day you have, meaning you have the intention to say, okay, clearly that you cannot find the second. Okay, cannot find the second. There are some scholars who will say that if you do sadaqa on behalf of that person, you know, but you can do. But that does not take off the responsibility, the obligation. Meaning, if I'm owing somebody 20,000 and they are going to invest again, I look for it, look for this thing again, and now I can do sadaqa 20,000. After I don't do sadaqa, it becomes over. I go see people. Because he didn't tell me to do sadaqa for him. So, those people who say that you do sadaqa, fine, alright, you can do sadaqa, okay? But that does not take off his right whenever he emerges at any time. Do you understand? So what I'm trying to say is that so long as you have the intention to pay and you are willing to pay, Allah will not hold you responsible for not paying because now it's impossible to pay because you cannot find the person. Do you understand? Unless of course the person has died, but you know his hair, his family, those that will inherit him, then you're supposed to give the money to his hair. So that's how it is.
That he will not pay, and if you throw my baby, you win. And because I have that capacity to dash in that water, you borrow the money you borrow so that you save me from carrying body or not being your
body. You know, human being is dynamic. I mean, human being is dynamic. Somebody may be used to not paying them, but he may see the one that, I mean, if you come to your own, I will pay. I think, you know, if you are assisting a fellow Muslim, like you said, it's in trouble. Only that your problem now is that you cannot get him the money. So, see, borrow him. We hope that you will pay. Your case will be different. You may not pay. The one thing is that Allah can talk to her. So, let me see if I shall not. So, the problem is to be around me. Okay, what I want to do is to do it. Okay. No, that has agony. Alright? Only that it may not be visible. Alright? You will not see it. Father Allah is a father that is from whom? Alright? Allah says, why is that when the soul gets to the soul? وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. You people are there, you are looking at the dead person. Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. We are closer to him than you people, through our angels that are carrying out the operation. But وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. You cannot see him. No, there are so many things that happen. Somebody may just fall down. You think, I think it's just a 5-minute thing. for some imams now, in the hadith, he said they will come, they will sit him down, they will show him paradise, they will show him hellfire, they will talk to him. There are so many things that happen. Within that 1 second that you are seeing, you know, the time zone, it's no longer our time zone again. You understand? So that 1 minute, a lot of things are happening that you cannot see. Look at it. So, the other is different for all of us.
I don't know.
And the devil should be behind you, or like the devil should be behind anyone, whichever one is convenient for people, right? Some can be the front, some can be the back. What's the problem? Anyone?
Anyone, what's the problem?
Anyone?
In the future, somebody has been going three or six from different locations where he find himself.
Sorry, five. You see, those scholars, there are some scholars who will tell you that let the dead body be in the front. You demand. They are looking at the word escort. It's diva, they are following the dead body. So if you are following, it means he is in the front, you are behind. Alright, but that is not, that does not necessarily mean that you cannot be in the front and the dead body be in the back. That's why it is, people have different opinions, right? Because there is no any specific instruction on it. Okay, so that's why Chef Utemin was saying that whichever one is convenient for people. In the front, in the back, in the side, no problem. Anyone? No, no question.
Ignorance of paying bad debt.
Maybe he doesn't know the consequences now.
So he now realized it. Then, of course, he couldn't trace
the money. The same thing with this question, that is natural. Meaning, he knows that he's owing somebody, but he cannot trace the person again. Have you?
No, he was ignorant of the consequences.
But he knows those that he's owing.
No, he doesn't know. Now that he has known the consequences of it.
That's it now, just like I said, if after realizing he is now willing to pay, he has prepared the money, if these people show, I will give them their money. So he has intention now, he has a good intention to pay, only that it's not possible because he cannot find it. You get it? So he has sincerely repented now and is willing to pay. We hope that Allah will not hold him responsible again. You get it? And then those people too, they should come to ask for their money. They come and pay. Allah does not hold you responsible for something that is beyond your power. Alright, that's why he says, Allah must have that. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. Alright, your ability now is that you have the money and you have made intention to pay, but you cannot find the person. How will you pay? Alright? So it's beyond your power now. I don't know what it is for, inshallah.
So the case why the person they are owing for God, you remember or you have known before?
Then you tell him, Fanny, I am owing you, alright? Forgive me, I don't have money to pay, alright? Or give me time. Inshallah, whenever I have the money, I will pay. It happens like that. Sometimes you collect money from some people, they may forget that they gave you money. Yes, it happened like you said that I collected money from you, so they say, I've forgotten, I don't remember that. Say, no, I know I collected money from you. I don't have now, but when I have, I will pay. Or forgive me. I just pardon me. So like that. Since you know that you're always saying, come to bed. No. This is just like everybody calling They should take the woman to court. Yes. All right. Because so long as a dead person has property that can settle his debt, okay, then his debt is supposed to settle from his property. Allah says, "Me by the wasiyati, you shall be her our gain." All right. So you have to settle. That's why when a person dies. When you are studying and studying inheritance, we tell al-fuqud al-muta'allika bi-tarika, right that are upon the property before it's shared. You know, sharing to be here is the last, is the least. Alright? The first thing is they will take from that property what is required to pretend it for the burial. Alright, to buy al-kafan, to pay people that will dig the ground if they have to dig, or to buy land that will bury him, they have to, whatever that is required to be able to successfully bury him. If nobody is willing to donate, then it is on his property. That's the first thing that we do. We pay. Alright? Then when we do that, the next thing to do is to pay his debt. If he's indebted. Alright? When we do that, the next thing is now what's here. Alright? If he has a request. He said, okay, from my body, this person is not entitled to inherit me, but I want him to be given so and so. So we give. If what is happening to be given is not more than one thought. Now, if one will have done all this before, we now come to the right of the heir. So if a person, either the wife or the son or anybody among the heir, say that they will not pay back that debt and their property, right? The creditor should sue them to court. Alright? So sue them to court. The court will place an embargo on the property to not be shared until that matter is settled. You understand? So go to court. Or, you know, court takes long process. You can invite scholars to plead to them. Rather than they plead to them, they will get them and Your problem is that you don't understand the meaning of gargara.
No, what is gargara? This problem was affected because the jet has already gone into
the system. That's why I say you don't know the meaning of gargara. Alright? Gargara means if already seeing the in there. You know, if he's in the air, he cannot see anything. He will even be talk. That's what the meaning. So long as you can talk, it means you're not in gargara. Alright? Gargara means the angels are already driving your soul out. You don't really care. Meaning from here down, it's already there. You know, the angel is already before you. You get it. So you can't even say anything at that time. That's why I say you don't know the meaning of God. That's the problem. Let's
Kind of question